The second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So far the reading. We've been following the theme of perseverance in the faith this week, and we end today with a look at perseverance in the career of St. Paul the Apostle. A dictionary definition of perseverance might read as follows: continuing in a course of action, even in the face of great difficulty, or with little or no prospect of success. That's perseverance. It's about hanging in there when the going gets tough. In very formal language, it's about the quality of pertinacity. In less formal language, it's about stick-to-itiveness. Images of bulldogs come to mind, latching onto something with their jaws and refusing to be shaken loose from it. Now, let me make it clear at the very outset that my goal here is not to engage in some inspirational and motivational rhetoric that will inspire you to go forth from this place and conquer in whatever you set out to do by your unrelenting perseverance. It can be argued that it is not necessarily a sign of virtue or intelligence to persevere in a course of action fraught with great difficulty when there is no prospect of achieving success. Determining whether or not perseverance is the virtuous or the wise thing to do in a particular case has much to do with the final goal. If the goal is worth striving for, then perseverance in pursuit of the goal is virtuous and admirable. If the goal is trivial or without value, then persevering in pursuit of it might be defined as foolhardiness or even madness. Some of the things people are willing to persevere in just to get into the Guinness Book of World Records might fall into that latter category. If you watch the thrilling finish of the men's 50-kilometer cross-country ski race in the Vancouver Olympics, you saw an outstanding example of athletic perseverance. At the conclusion of the race, the persevering winner collapsed on the ground and lay there gasping for breath for several minutes, and others came to him to loosen the bindings and remove his skis from his boots and then helped him to his feet by pulling him up. If you are moved at all by heroic feats of perseverance, that was a remarkable scene. But this quality of perseverance has a different place in the economy of God and his way of dealing with us than it has in the economy of man. We are not talking here about identifying our virtues and our strengths and then pursuing them with bulldog tenacity until success is achieved. That works, I guess, to some extent anyway, in the kingdom of this world, but not in the kingdom of God. The career of St. Paul illustrates for us the place of perseverance in the kingdom of God. Just the mere recitation of the basic facts of St. Paul's life is a fascinating exercise. In his letter to the Philippians, he described his background in this way. He said, I was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That was quite a resume he presented. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, he called himself. That's the way you make the superlative degree in the Semitic languages. He took his ethnicity, his culture, and his religion very seriously and cultivated those things to the highest level possible. He was affiliated with the strictest, most observant of all the sects among the Jews of his day, the Pharisees. He had been a student of one of the most famous rabbis of that day. In pursuing the ideal of Jewish righteousness, he called himself blameless. And when some began to proclaim that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah and Savior, he was so filled with zeal for his cause that he took a very active role in persecuting and attempting to destroy the new faith. This was a man who understood what it meant to persevere in his convictions. But then, his life got dramatically turned around. The resurrected and ascended Christ intervened directly and called this man and made him an apostle, one who was sent by Christ himself to bring the Christian gospel message to a very large area of the ancient world. What a seemingly impossible task this was. His very name, Paul, means small or humble. Some have theorized that this was to be taken quite literally as a description of his physical size or lack thereof. By his own admission, he was not a powerful, charismatic speaker. He had some chronic problem that plagued him continually, something that he called his thorn in the flesh, and a messenger of Satan to buffet him and keep him humble. To this frail human vessel, once a persecutor of the faith, the Lord of the church entrusted the task of proclaiming the gospel in Jewish synagogues, in the streets and marketplaces of the cities of the Greeks, in the presence of powerful rulers and among ordinary folks. He confronted all with the unflattering reality that this is true of all human beings, that the wages of sin is death. And he announced to all the sublime truth that eternal life is the gift of God, acquired for all by the Son of God in human flesh, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, and imparted to all who hear the gospel and grasped by faith alone. And what came of his work? What did he experience? Well, there's this interesting section in the 11th chapter of the Second Epistle to the Corinthians, where Paul provides us with a catalog of the things that he experienced in his career as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Here's just a part of the list. He says, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That means he was whipped. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, besides the other things which come upon me daily. In our reading for today, he sums these things up. He says, we were burdened beyond measure, he says, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. St. Paul's story is not about his ability to persevere, not about his willpower to overcome adversity. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, he said. His perseverance had to do with the grace of God and learning that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. There's the source of perseverance in the kingdom of God. St. Paul learned to say from the heart, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." And in answer to his pleas to be relieved of his thorn in the flesh, the response of God was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore," said St. Paul, "most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Perseverance in the faith. Where does it come from? We despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God who has the power to raise the dead gives perseverance, and blessed are you in such faith. Amen. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Please rise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.